pray together. Let's turn to the Lord in prayer. Our Father, we pray that thou would continue to oversee everything tonight, O God. We pray that bring every thought into the captivity of Jesus Christ tonight, the thoughts of both preacher and hearers alike. We pray, Heavenly Father, be with every word. We pray that no word might be lost, might fall to the ground. We pray, Heavenly Father, it might be heard, and Father, it might be understood and richly blessed to those who hear him. Oh God, be with us tonight, our Father, we pray. Be with us now. Uphold thy servants and bless your people with peace, with thy presence, the power of the Holy Ghost, and with the blessing of thy word. We ask it in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Well, dear friends, our text tonight is taken from the book of the prophet of the prophecy of Isaiah, chapter 41 and verse 10. Isaiah chapter 41 and verse 10. This is God speaking to his people. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee. Yea, I'll uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I'll strengthen thee, yea, I'll help thee. I'll uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. So this morning we were looking at a couple of verses from Exodus chapter 14, verses 13 and 14. I just want to look at this one this evening, from Isaiah chapter 41 and verse 10, where God is speaking here, the Lord is speaking here, Jehovah, through his servant, the prophet Isaiah. And he's speaking here to those that are described in verse 8 as Israel, Jacob, or the seed of Abraham. That's who Isaiah was writing to or speaking to here, prophesying to, preaching to, and God through him to these who are called Israel, Jacob, or the seed of Abraham. Just look at verses 8 and the way in which it leads on to verse 10. It says there, but thou, Israel, art my servant, Jacob, whom I have chosen, the seed of Abraham, my friend. It's missing out verse 9 into verse 10. Fear thou not. You Israel, you Jacob, you seed of Abraham, fear not, for I am with thee. Amen. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I have strengthened thee, yea, I will help thee, yea, I'll uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. So who are these? Who is Israel? Who are Israel? Who are Jacob? Who are the seed of Abraham? Well, he's referring here not to the carnal Israel, Jacob or seed of Abraham. He is referring here to the spiritual Israel, the spiritual Jacob, the spiritual seed of Abraham. Very well known, very well respected commentator writes as follows: not carnal, but spiritual Israel are here meant. Israelites indeed, Jacob-like, the spiritual seed of Abraham, being believers in Christ, being believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. This is who Isaiah was writing to or prophesying or preaching to this time, and the Lord Jehovah through him. The spiritual Israel, the spiritual Jacob, the spiritual seed of Abraham, those who are true believers in the Lord Jesus Christ at that time, and especially in these New Testament days, these gospel times, true believers perhaps through grace like you and I. And what the Apostle Paul wrote to the Philippians in chapter 3 and verse 3. He said, for we are the circumcision. We are the true Israel, the spiritual Israel, if you like. We are himself, Timothy, the Philippians, and all true believers in Christ, who worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. And he goes on to to show how he had no confidence in the flesh and where his true confidence lay. Well, my dear friend, are you such tonight? Are you the true spiritual Israel? Are you a spiritual Israelite, an Israelite indeed? Are you the spiritual Jacob, his true children, the children of faith, the children of the promise? Are you the spiritual seed of Abraham? Well, if you're a Christian, you are. And therefore, this verse and these words and these exhortations and explanations and promises are for you. And you must be very sure that nobody ever robs you of them. For example, those who would say that these words here were really only for the Jews, for the carnal, for the physical Israel, the national Israel, if you like, God's people at that time. And that these words and these promises are not for us today. But I'd say, my dear friends, they're more for us than perhaps they were even for them. We are, if we're Christians, we are the true people of God. And these things are for us and for those who come after us, the true believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. So I have to sort that out right from the very beginning so that we might know who these words are for. Therefore, those of us, those of you who are true believers in Christ. But what is it that God here was speaking to such people? Well, I want to divide up this verse into four this evening. First of all, there's an exhortation for them at the beginning of the verse, and then an explanation undergirding that exhortation, why they weren't to do something at that time, and why Christians aren't to fear at any time. Then thirdly, there's another exhortation right in the middle of this verse, and the rest of the verse is taken up with the reasons and the explanations, not only why they were not to be afraid, but also why God's people are not ever to be dismayed. So here we have, my dear friends, some exceeding great and precious promises to take some exhortations to take with us into this new week, but also some very great promises for us too. So I want to start at the beginning of the verse, and we have here something negative. What God's people aren't to do as an exhortation for them. And the exhortation is this, that God was saying to them that they were not to fear. He says, "Fear thou not." God's people then weren't to do this, but ever afterwards they weren't to do it. And we're not today. We are not to fear. Don't you be afraid, he says. Don't you be afraid, he says to you. Don't be fearful. Don't be frightened of any of your enemies, any of your spiritual enemies, nor whatever you may be called to suffer for Christ's name's sake. Even though you pass through fire, and even if you pass through water, and the valley of the shadow of death, even those extreme things, we are not to be afraid. Now this is something, this exhortation is something that crops up repeatedly in Isaiah, in some really great verses. Let me give you some of them. First of all, Isaiah 35 and verse 4, just in case you are afraid here, you're of a fearful heart tonight. God says to you, "Say to them that have a fearful heart, be strong, fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, even God with a recompense. He will come and save you." It's remarkable how many times we have in Scripture and how many times we have in this book this exhortation not to be afraid, because God's people then and now are so prone to be fearful, of a fearful and timid spirit. Isaiah 43 and verse 1, "But now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name, thou art mine." Isaiah 51 and verse 7, "Hearken unto me, ye that know righteousness." This is the Lord's people, the people in whose heart is my law. Fear ye not the reproach of men, neither be ye afraid of their revilings. Then finally, once more, towards the end of this book, end of this prophecy, Isaiah 54 and verse 4, fear not, for thou shalt not be ashamed, neither be thou confounded, for thou shalt not be put to shame, for thou shalt forget the shame of thy youth, and shalt not remember the reproach of thy widowhood any more. Fear not. Fear not. Don't be afraid. Don't be frightened. Don't be fearful. It comes up in this verse here. It comes up again and again in Isaiah. It comes up once and again throughout the whole of Scripture. It is an exhortation to God's people. It's an exhortation to you. Don't be afraid. Sheep are very prone to fear. And we're like sheep, we're very prone to be very quickly afraid and in a state of turmoil and of terror sometimes. So tonight, my dear friend, are you afraid? Are you fearful of anything? Are you frightened of the future and something that perhaps you can foresee happening in the future? Well, God says tonight, don't be afraid if you're one of his people. If you're one of my people, don't be afraid. Fear not. But you say, why is that? It's very easy to say to somebody, don't be frightened. But they might say, well, why not? Why shouldn't I be? What you notice with God's word is this, that when he gives exhortations, he always gives the reasons for those exhortations and why somebody should do something or not do something. So in the second part of verse 10 here, we have the explanation why they shouldn't be afraid. And the explanation was this. It says, don't fear, don't be afraid. For he was with them. I am with you. And kind of break those up and emphasize each one, my dear friends. If you're of a fearful spirit this evening, of a fearful heart, of a fearful soul, if you're frightened about something about the future, something you're starting this week, something that you can foresee, just break that down and remember it this week. Emphasize each thing. For I am with you. God is with you. For I am, there's no doubt about it. There's a certainty about it, a guarantee about it. I am with you. I'm really with you, and I am with you. I'm not only with the whole of my church, I'm with you as an individual believer. I'm with you every step of the way. So it says, I am with you, I the Lord, am with thee at all times. Not merely here by his essence or by his power, because he is everywhere. Amen. Doesn't just mean like that. Or by my providential supporting, preserving, observing, ordering, and overruling all things. But this means this. But in a way of special grace to his special and peculiar people, to guard and protect you, to support and supply you, to comfort and strengthen your hearts. And for this reason, you need not fear. Because God, my dear friend, is with you. Like the hymn says, shall I be dismayed, shall I fear? No. No, not if he is with me. In Isaiah 43 and verse 5, we read, fear not again. And for the same reason, for I am with you, I bring thy seed from the east, and I will gather thee from the west. A very precious promise indeed. So, my dear friend, is God with you? If you're a Christian, he is with you. He's promised never to leave nor to forsake you. And if that is the case, you need never to be afraid. God is at your right hand. God will hold you by your right hand. God will be your sovereign protector. He will be your guardian. He will follow you so very closely, my dear friends. He'll go before you. He'll be behind you. He'll be at your side. His hand will be upon you. Underneath you will be his everlasting arms. God cannot be closer to you. He is in you by his Spirit. So do not be afraid. Because God, Almighty God, is with you. And he is in you. The third thing here in the third part of verse 10, he gives them another exhortation. They weren't to be afraid. Of course, people weren't to be afraid then, and also in the future, throughout this New Testament age, especially in times of persecution. You think of the first centuries of persecution, and ever, any time, anything, they weren't to be afraid. But also he says here, don't also be dismayed. Be not dismayed. Don't be dismayed at anything that should befall you. Anything. Anything. Or become weak as water. This is what this means. And your hearts melt like wax within you. Be not broken in spirit. That's what this word dismayed can mean. It has all these meanings. Be not broken in spirit. The word signifies to look about, to look around, to look out for help. Or looking at each other, to look at it, be somebody in distress, to be amazed, to be dazzled by something, by one fear or another. God said, listen, says to his people, don't be afraid, do not be dismayed. Don't be terrified, don't be petrified. The same word is used in Isaiah 41 verse 23, later on in this chapter. Show the things, God is speaking, show the things that are to come hereafter, that we may know that ye are gods. Yea, do good or do evil, that we may be dismayed. It's the same word in the Hebrew. And behold it together. Well, my dear friend, are you afraid tonight? Even more than that, are you dismayed? You know what it is to be dismayed, my dear friend, sometimes? Just because you get fearful doesn't mean to say you're not a Christian. Just because sometimes you get dismayed doesn't mean to say that you're not a Christian. Every Christian has passed this way. And sometimes been gripped by fear and been utterly dismayed and confounded. But God says this doesn't have to be. There is grace there for you. If you reason in the scriptures, and if you look at his promises, and if you pray to him, if you draw near to him and look to him for grace, you do not have to be afraid. You don't have to be dismayed this evening. Don't be like this. And once again, he gives a number of reasons why this is so. What's the explanation? Four reasons why they did not have to be dismayed, why you don't have to be dismayed. The first reason was this, fourth part of verse 10. Because he says, for I am your God. This is covenant language, isn't it? He was their God and Father, and they were his children. I am your God. I, the Lord, am your God, and he is your God. Through Christ, and through faith in Christ, and in a covenant way, because you are in his covenant. As appears by your effectual calling. And therefore you may depend on his love. Be sure of his power. Expect all needful supplies. Every supply that you need. Temporal and spiritual. And to be comfortably carried through every service and trial you are called to. And need fear no enemies. Or be dismayed at anything that should befall you. My dear friend, don't be dismayed. Don't be amazed at what's befalling you. You need not be, because God is your God. He's your covenant God. And he's a God that you're in covenant with through faith in Christ, ratified by the death and the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And all the promises are yours. And he is yours. And you are his. You are very, very special to him. So is the Lord your God? If you're a Christian, I can say yes. That is the greatest of all the covenantal blessings. When you come to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, when you come into this covenant, God covenants to be your God and your Father, and you become his child. So if you're a Christian, God is your God. Therefore, you need not be dismayed. Be there for you. He'll keep all of his promises towards you. And now we have some of his promises here, don't we? This is why they don't have to be dismayed, because of God's covenantal promises towards them. And the first promise was this. They didn't need to be dismayed because God was going to strengthen them. So the first promise was, they not only have the promise of his presence, the promise of his possession, he is their God and they are his children, but here's the promise of his power that he's going to give to them, spiritual power. I will strengthen you. It means literally, I will harden you, but harden you in a good sense. I will empower you, I will endue you with power. He will give them strength, with strength in your souls, to perform duties, to exercise grace towards others, to withstand corruptions, to resist temptations, to bear afflictions, suffer persecutions, and do your generation work according to the will of God. This commentator says, if God is your strength, you need not be afraid of any persons or things. David said in Psalm 27 and verse 1, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? He could say, how could I be dismayed about anything? The Lord is the strength of my life. It doesn't matter what's ahead of me. It doesn't matter what I'm going to face. It doesn't matter who's against me. The devil and all the devils of hell against me. The Lord is the strength of my life. He will empower me. He will give me the grace to persevere. Of whom shall I be afraid? So my dear friend, will the Lord strengthen you? He's promised he'll do it. Pray according to the promise. He's a God who keeps his promises and fulfills them. He will strengthen you. Yes, he will. So don't be dismayed. Be not dismayed. Your strength won't run out. As your days, so shall your strength be. To do his work, to resist temptation, to cope with persecutions, to do whatever he wants you to do until your work is done and until you take your place in glory. So they weren't to be dismayed because God was going to strengthen them. God will strengthen you in the future. They weren't to be dismayed because he was going to help them. He's going to be the Lord, their helper. It means here, I will help you. Help you out of all your afflictions and temptations, and out of the hand of all your enemies. Help you in the discharge of your duty, in the exercise of grace, in bearing the cross from day to day, in fighting God's battles, the Lord's battles, and in your journey to another world. Help you to every mercy, temporal and spiritual, to all needful supplies of grace, and at last to glory. This commentator says, whose help is seasonable and suitable, and may be expected, since he's able to help, either with or without means, has promised to help his people, as here, and he is faithful that promised. He's laid help on one that is mighty and set up a throne of grace to come to for help in time of need. And seeing he is their helper, they need not fear what men or devils can do unto them. The Lord is my helper. I'll not be afraid what men may do unto me. In chapter 41 and verses 13 and 14 we read, for I the Lord thy God will hold thy right hand, saying to you, fear not, I will help you. I'm going to help you. Fear not, thou worm Jacob, ye men of Israel. I will help you, saith the Lord, and thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. Then chapter 44 and verse 2, we read, thus saith the Lord that made thee and formed thee from the womb, which will help thee. Fear not, O Jacob, my servant, and thou Jeshurun, whom I have chosen. God will help, was going to help them. He's going to help you. He's promised to do so. So don't be dismayed. Be not dismayed. He's your God. He'll be with you, his presence. He'll grant you his strength. He'll grant you his help. And the final promise is that he will prop them up. He will uphold them. Doesn't matter how heavy the cross, however heavy the burden, however great the persecution, he promises that he's going to uphold them with the right hand of his righteousness. Boys, if you're going to come in here, you're going to sit down, you're going to be quiet, or you're going to be going straight out. So you make the choice now, because I don't want to be interrupted at the end of this message. Right, now be quiet, please. Or John, if they're not, take them straight out. Okay, so commentators say either by his almighty power he was going to uphold them, or by his son, the man of his right hand, made strong for himself, and the author of righteousness to his people. This is expressive of his sustaining of them, not merely in a providential way, but in a way of special grace, and of his powerful protection and preservation of them, so that they shall stand in the grace of God, go on in his ways, and not fall finally and totally, but persevere to the end through their trials and temptations, though their trials and temptations may be great and many. He was going to uphold them by the right hand of his righteousness, in terms of either his power or by the person of his son, Jesus Christ. In Psalm 63 and verse 8 we read, David's words, "My soul falleth hard after thee, your right hand upholds me." And you think of all that David went through, and yet God upheld him and carried him through all. So that's the final reason why they didn't need to be dismayed, because God was going to uphold them, and he was going to carry them through and bear them upon eagle's wings to the end of their journey, even to glory. Will God uphold you by the right hand of his righteousness? Yes, he will. Therefore, don't be dismayed. So we've looked tonight about these people, the spiritual Israel, the spiritual Jacob, the spiritual seed of Abraham. Yeah, go out, please. You can go out now. John, you take them out. So they weren't to be fear or to be dismayed, because God was with them. He was their God, who was going to strengthen them, help them, and uphold them with the right hand of his righteousness. And it's put perfectly in that hymn 692 that we sang a little bit earlier on in verse 3. Take this with you. Fear not. I am with you. God is with you. Be not dismayed. I am thy God and will still give thee aid. I'll strengthen thee, help thee, cause you to stand. Whatever you're facing, upheld by my righteous, omnipotent hand. The one who upholds all things, the one who upholds the world, holds us up, my dear friends, and keeps us strong for him, keeps us going on, keeps us enduring, keeps us persevering, even to the end, even to glory. So we have these exhortations and these explanations to back them up and make us strong in faith in him.